Grace and peace to you this morning from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. It seems that many people can just not help themselves. I say that because every few years we hear about it again. Someone predicting when the world is going to end. Some people even go as far as predicting the month and the day. I searched for and found a list of predictions regarding the end of the world on the internet. They generally fall into two categories, religious and scientific. Yes, even many scientists are very interested in this topic, but for different reasons than us. There are individuals who have made predictions, and there are groups. The religious groups usually tie in their predictions with the second coming of Jesus Christ. And the particular website I use had 93 different references on predictions that have been made, all of which contradict each other. The scientists are hardly interested in the second coming of Christ. They are more interested in the possibilities on how the earth is going to end. But the informed Christian should not waste time getting fooled by individuals or groups such as these. We have the words of our Lord Jesus Christ to guide our thinking. The disciples ask about the second coming of Christ and the end of the world, and Jesus gave this answer recorded in Matthew 24:36. You might memorize where this is. Matthew 24:36. But concerning that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father only. So you might want to learn that or mark it down somewhere so that you can give a proper response if you are ever asked about the subject. You see, we should have the proper response to the question because of who we are. The Apostle Paul, speaking to brothers in the faith at Thessalonica, said, quote, "For you yourselves are fully aware that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night, when people are saying, 'There is peace and security,' then sudden destruction will come upon them, as labor pains come upon a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you are not in darkness, brothers, for that day to surprise you like a thief. For you are all children of the light, children of the day. We are not of the night or of the darkness." These concepts of light and dark are often used in the Holy Scriptures, so we should not be surprised to see Paul also use this imagery. What is meant by its use here? It's really very simple. The children of light are those who have faith in Jesus Christ as their Savior. And those of the darkness are those who do not believe in Jesus Christ as their Savior. And it makes sense to use the terms of light and darkness to illustrate faith or lack of faith. Think about it. In the dark, you can't see very much. You can't see where you are going. You can't tell for sure where you are, and you can't see any danger that is around. You simply do not know what's out there in the darkness. By contrast, in the day, you can plainly see where you are and the surroundings. You can see whether you're on the right road. And if danger comes, you can see what the options are to try and avoid it. A person has much more confidence if one is walking in the light. One knows who he is, knows where he's going, and he knows where he's going to end up someday. He also, in the case of a Christian, knows the gifts that God has given him in his baptism and that he belongs to God. Boy, what a difference that makes in the philosophy of life. And I've often had new Christians ask me if they can know for certain that they will go to heaven when they die. And I've developed a personal witnessing presentation. And at the end of that, I assure them that on the basis of the Holy Scriptures, we do know that we can go to heaven. And this is the other spot you might memorize, and that's 1 John 5, toward the end of your Bible, just before Revelation. The Apostle John writes two things of great importance there. One, everyone who believes that Jesus the Christ has been born of God. And then in verse 13, John writes this, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know you have eternal life. John is talking about children of the light here, and we can know. But for those who do not know the Lord, those who are living in spiritual darkness, it is the absolute opposite. The Apostle Paul writes, the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. The only certainty for people of the darkness is uncertainty. They not only don't know when the world is going to end, they do not know where they are going when their life ends. And it's likely that that will happen sooner. And they are not prepared. Now, Paul does address the normal inquisitive nature of people who wonder when Jesus might return. It's not a sin to wonder that. I'm sure we've all wondered it at some time. In the last couple of weeks here at St. Mark, we have given attention to some of the details about the second coming of Christ. In 1 Thessalonians 4, the chapter before, one of our readings today, and other passages that address this. The Reverend Gary Peepcorn, he's an LCMS pastor in New Mexico, wrote on this subject. And he wrote in his sermon that he believes that Paul addressed this question because of two primary reasons. One, Reverend Peepcorn says, is that we all have a sinful nature and often we don't want to trust anything without having concrete proof. So God gives us some details about the end. But they certainly don't include anything about the day or time. The second reason I found very interesting, Reverend Peepcorn says, Paul addresses the question about the return of Christ and says that if we knew when our Lord was coming back, some people might just live as they want with the intention to clean up their act before the Lord returns. There is a tendency deep down in most of us, perhaps all of us, to think and do that which pleases us instead of what pleases God. And the possibility exists that if we knew the day would not be coming for some time, we might well lapse into a kind of lifestyle that is less than honorable. And that is not acceptable to God. For God has work for us to do and people with whom we should be speaking. Being children of light should change what our life is and what our life is all about. One should no longer live for self, but for Christ who saved us, and for the people whom God wishes to touch through us. And that's why Paul writes in 1 Thessalonians 5 today, quote, "Concerning the times and seasons, brothers, you have no need to have anything written to you." What we know is really quite enough. By not knowing all the details, we can then focus on what really counts. Well, what really counts? The two things that really count are, number one, that we believe, we strongly believe, that God has made us children of the light. And He did this by redeeming us, by buying us back from the clutches of Satan and the consequences of our own sins. And Paul reinforces this with his words in our reading today, when he said, "For God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we might live with Him." And the only other thing that really counts is that by not knowing the day or the season or the time when Christ will return, we can live out our lives and just let Christ live in and through us. Indeed, by letting Christ be our life, those around us should see someone significantly different from those who are living without the light. For being children of the light, we are also children of the Heavenly Father, who devised a plan by which all the sins we have committed or ever will commit are forgiven. They are removed forever. And while the world is certainly in a sorry state today, with every indication that it may get worse, we must not forget or compromise on who we are. And I think even many non-Christians would admit this, that this world would be a much darker place without God's children of the light. We are to be lights to the people around us, no matter what. Praise God for having come to us to make us children of light. Praise God for forgiving us and living in us and through us to bring hope to a darkened world. Praise God for revealing to us many of the details to come in our next life. Praise God that despite the despicable record of mankind, He kept His promise and sent a Savior in the person of Jesus Christ. Yes, we have so much for which we should praise God. Thus we say again this morning, all praise to God, from whom all blessings flow. Amen.